it on?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Last time, we were discussing the position of the Rambam with respect to the proliferation of machlokas in Klal Yisrael, and I'd like to discuss that in further detail today, how machlokas originated, and especially today I'd like to discuss how it was resolved, at least to some degree. Perhaps let's begin with where we left off last year, and actually towards the end of this year, a number of, we saw Rambam, which troubled a number of you. A number of you asked some questions at the end of Shir or after Shir, and I'd like to try to resolve some of these questions, at least to the best of our ability, Ezras Hashem. So let's actually start with the source number 7 in what I just gave you. And this is the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam writes, Kshahaya based in Hagadol Kayim lo haya machlokas b'Yisrael. As long as the based in Hagadol was functioning, there wasn't any debate that was unresolved in Klal Yisrael. Elakol din shenolad bosafek l'achad m'Yisrael, shawel aveistin shabiro, im yado, amrulo, im lav, hare hashoel, im oso beistin, o im shluchav, olin l'yushalayim v'sholon l'beistin shabihar bayis, im yadu amrulo, im lav hakol, b'im l'beistin shal pesach hazara, im yadu amrulahan, v'im lav hakol, b'im l'lishkas hagazis, l'beistin hagadol, v'sholim, im haya hadavar shenolad bo'asafek l'chol, yadua etzel beistin hagadol, bein mipig hakabala, bein mepiamida shadanuba, omrim miyad imlo, hayad imloya dever barer etzel based nagadol, dunin bo bishaitan, venosin, bedavar ad shiaskimu kulan o, yamdu leminion. The yelchu achar haro, the yomu lechol hashawalim kach halacha the holchen lahin. So the reason why originally there was no protracted debates was because there was a very simple method of resolution. Namely, the High Court in Yerushalayim. So if there was a debate that couldn't be resolved on a local level, so they would travel to Yerushalayim, and if it was still unresolved, they would go before the Beis HaGadol. If there was a solution, they would tell them, and if not, they would vote, and the vote would be followed, a majority position is followed. Mishabato Beis HaGadol, so you have to figure out when he's talking about, when the Beis Din Hagadol was batel, Rab Samach Lokas B'Yisrael, there was a proliferation of debate in the Jewish people. Zemetame v'nosein tam ledvarv, zemetar v'nosein tam ledvarv, zeosef zematir. As we know, when we study Gemara, two opinions. One says aser, one says mutter. Each one has a theory behind his position. And that is what the Rambam tells us. Now, we noted that it's interesting because the Rambam in the Hakdama to Mishnah seems to emphasize a different point. He attributes the Riboy Machlokas v'Yisrael to the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shukol HaTzorach. Shaloshim Shukol HaTzorach. The Rambam told us that, of course, that doesn't mean that they were negligent. Who are the Talmidim of Hillel? The Gemara in Sukkah says the lowest of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Talmidim of Shai were great Tanaim as well, Bava ben Buta and the like. So clearly it doesn't mean they were lazy. But the Rambam says, in contrast to the Gaonim perhaps, is that this means they didn't reach the Madrega of their teachers. And we'll see, this may partially have to do with the very difficult historical circumstances in which they lived. We'll talk about that shortly. They didn't reach the madrigos of their teachers. So while we don't blame them for that, because they didn't, so what originally was something that was relatively clear, later a debate emerged. That's what the Rambam says. So which one was it? Was it because Riboy Talmidei V'Shamai V'Hillel Shaloshim Shukal Tzarech, that was the cause for Riboy Machlokas B'Yisrael? Or was it because of the Bittul Beis Nagado? So the Rambam obviously understands that both are true. They're both factors. Number one is there were more debates because the students of Shammai and Hillel weren't as proficient as their masters. There was more debate. But moreover, this debate couldn't be resolved because they couldn't simply vote on the matter since due to the Bittul based in Haggadah. Now, the question that was asked at the end of Shir was, did these two things happen at the same time? Well, the Rambam seems like, apparently, yes, around the same time. Does that actually make sense historically? So the answer is it does. And really, I think to better appreciate the answer, we have to turn to the Makor for this Rambam. The Makor for this Rambam is source number... source number one. Source number one. Tanya. Amr Yosi, Sikman Sanhedrin, Pechasam at base, Mitchilalo, Hayu Marbin Machlokas B'Yisrael. Originally, there weren't many Machlokas B'Yisrael, Elabasin, Shalshim Vachad Yoshim, Lishka Sagazis. There was the High Court in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Rambam, the Gemara says exactly, more or less, actually there's some interesting discrepancies, but more or less exactly what the Rambam says. There was a question that couldn't be resolved by the local Batei Dinim. They would go up to the Beis HaMikdash and the Lishkas HaGazis, and it would follow the majority position. More or less exactly what the Rambam says. And then look at the last two lines of this source, Rabu, Mishrabu, Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel, Shaloshim Shukal Tzarkan, Rabu Machlokas B'Yisrael, V'Nasis Torah K'shtei Torahs. But when the Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel proliferated, that weren't Meshamish Kol Tzarkan, you see, agav, the importance of Shimush, Gadol Shimush Lo Yosem Milimudo. So when they were Meshamish Shalom Shimshu Kol Tzarkan, so then debate proliferated, so much so that the Torah became like two Torahs, meaning to say that there were so many differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They argue on so many different points, it was almost like there were two Torahs. Now, the Rambam then notes, the way he's understanding this Gemara, is that the Gemara is really addressing two points. Number one, why was there so much debate? And the answer is, Mishrabu Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel Shaloshim Shukal Tzarkan. But number two, why wasn't there resolution? And that's the first part of the Gemara, because they could no longer go to the Beis Nagal Shem Yishalayim to resolve it. So the Gemara isn't explicit. This is the Rambam's taich in the Gemara. The Gemara simply says two things. Originally, what would they do? Go to the Beis Nagal Shem Yishalayim to seek a resolution. And how come there was so much debate? The Rambam says, these aren't just two unrelated points, but they are related. It's these two factors that led to the proliferation of unresolved debates. Now, when is it that there was a what the Rambam refers to again in source number seven as a Bittul Beis in Haggadah. Bittul Beis in Haggadah, right? And was this around the time of the Riboy Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel Shelo Shimshu Kol HaTzarech? Right? Do they happen at the same time? So, take a look at source number 8. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And here we have a clue. Ein Dunin Dine Nefashos, Ela Bifnei HaBeisdin, Bifnei HaBayis. Capital cases could only be adjudicated in the presence or during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Vushi HaBeisdin HaGadol Sham. It's not just the Beis HaMikdash that is around that's necessary, but the Beis HaGadol has to be there in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishka Sagazis. The Lishka Shemimikdash, Shenemar, Bizakin Mamre, Levilti Shamar Lakoin, the Gomer. Umepiashmo Lamdu, Shabizman, Shiesh Koin Makriv, Algabe Mizbech, Yeshin and Fashos, Vushia Beis Nagabal Bumakoma. Bitchila, Kshinis not Kisha Nivne Beis HaMikdash, Hayu. Based in Hagadol Yoshin Belishkas Hagazis Shahaisa BeEzras Yisrael, the Makom Shayu Yoshin Bo Chol Haya Chol. It was not part of the. It wasn't Hekdesh. It wasn't part of the. Didn't have Kedushas and Mikdash. Shein Yeshiva BeAzara El Malchay based up. In other words, the Sanhedrin would sit while they adjudicated, and therefore. The part of the Lishka Sagazis where they sat had to be chol, because you couldn't sit in the azara. Ukishin is kalkula hashura. So we have to figure out when this happened, what this is referring to. The Rambam doesn't tell us, but when there was some type of kilkul, when there was some type of moral depravity or something happened. So when that happened, galu mimakom lamakom, the Sanhedrin had to go from place to place. Ulasara mikomos galu, and it went to 10 different places. This is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, among others, that it went first. It left the Lishka Sagazis and went elsewhere in Yerushalayim, and then it went to Yavne, and then it went to Ushan, all these different places, until the Sofon Latveria, until the final place up in the Galil, the latter number, most of the latter places were in the Galil, the final place where the High Court ruled, the High Court acted, functioned, was in Tveria. Umisham lo amad based in Gadol ad ata, and since then there has been no based in Gadol. The Kabbalah he shebetveria asid in lachzer trilo misham netakin lamikdash, and we have a tradition that it's going to be restored in Tveria, and from there it's going to go back to the Beis Hamikdash b'mehera v'yameinu. It's actually very interesting why the Rambam felt the need to include this over here. These are the halachos of Sanhedrin. But he did. So when did this happen? So the Rambam continues in the next halacha. Arbaim shana kodem chorban bayis sheni. Batlu dine nefashos misral. So dine nefashos were nisbatlu 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Afal pisha HaMikdash kayim. Mipnei shegalu Sanhedrin v'lo hayasham ben mekoman b'mikdash. Because this Sanhedrin was exiled. So the first of the exiles mentioned by the Rambam explicitly of the Sanhedrin took place 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so let's say around the year 30. And that's when, according to the Rambam that we saw earlier in Hilchos Ma'amrim, when there was a proliferation of debate, because now it could no longer be resolved. Now, first of all, how does that line up with the other event associated with that time, the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shukol HaTzarkon, right? Remember, when Shammai and Hillel were around, there were a total of four debates. The original debate about Tzmicha, that was during the period of Zugos, and then three additional ones. And then, after they died, seems like there was the proliferation. So, Shammai, I think, died at around the year 30, and Hillel around the year 10. So, actually, it sounds like this was around the same time. In other words, 40 years before the destruction of the bias was the year that Shammai died. Now, Rambam continues and says, well, this wasn't a total end of the Beis Din HaGadol. The Beis Din HaGadol did continue to function, not in Yerushalayim. And what's interesting is that the Rambam refers to this in Hilchos Mamrim as a betel, right? Mishabotel based in Hagadol, Rabsa Machlokas. In Hilchos Sanhedrin, what does he say? He says, Kshneskalkal Ashura, Galu Mimakom Lamakom. So it's talking about a galus. But it continued. In other words, there's a bittel of Dine Nefashos in Halacha Yud Gimel, but a galus of this Sanhedrin. Now, in Hilchos Mamrim, he didn't tell us why exactly this couldn't be resolved. In other words, if Bittel Beis in Hagadol refers to the very, very end, meaning to say after it was finally ended in Tveria, so then so that was obviously much later, right? That was much later, Adrabah. As we'll see, that was after really the, well after the period of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and even after the period of Yavne, when more or less a consensus was reached with respect to the debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, perhaps the Rambam understands that the leaving of the Lishkas Hagazis limited the authority of the Sanhedrin, at least to some degree. And that's not just true with respect to their ability to be don dine nefashos. It's not just that. Obviously, the Rambam said it was that, but it refers to many things. Now, you see this both with respect to sort of, I think, these seeming contradictions in the Rambam and also in Chazal. The Rambam, for example, when you look at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, I didn't include it here, the Rambam emphasizes the makom, that the authority of Sanhedrin is rooted in its being in its makom. That the Beis HaGadol in Yerushalayim, in the Mikdash, is the source of Tarshah Baal Peh, and this is the source of all aspects of Tarshah Baal Peh, their legislative capacity, their interpretive capacity, their judicial capacity. It's from there that the Psukim themselves emphasize, right? The Psukim in Dvarim Yud Zayin talk about Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem and the like. At the same time, elsewhere, like, for example, in his Hakadama to Mishneh Torah, which I think we saw a little bit of a couple weeks ago, he doesn't emphasize Yerushalayim in the same way, it would seem. Likewise, again, just to show two places in Chazal where you see this point. So one Mekor in Chazal is a Gemar Ksubis. The Gemar Ksubis, Lamed Amud Aleph, says, Miyom Shecharev Beis HaMikdash, Afal Pisha Batlu Sanhedrin Arba Mises Lo Batlu. Now the Gemara clarifies, what does it mean Arba Mises Lo Batlu? It doesn't mean that they the Sanhedrin adjudicated Mises based, and it meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bashkachaso would ensure that someone deserving of Skila got something like Skila, or somebody deserving of Chanek got something like Chanek. But anyway, the point is that the Gemara says that talks about Bittel Sanhedrin, right? Bittel Sanhedrin Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash. Sounds like there was no Sanhedrin post Beis HaMikdash. But elsewhere, the Gemara, like in Rosh Hashanah, as we mentioned earlier, talks about the Golus of Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin going from place to place to place. So clearly there wasn't a Bittel Sanhedrin, even with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They went to Yavne, and to Usha, and to Shvaram, and to Beis Sha'arim, and to Tzipori, and the like. So which one was it? Was it Batel, or was it not Batel? So maybe we're good. You know, I guess you could say the Gemara Ksubos means that there was Bittel Sanhedrin, meaning Bittel Sanhedrin Mimikomo. That doesn't mean there was no Sanhedrin. It just they weren't in its place. Doesn't another possibility? I think probably is more likely is that no, it is a Bittel Sanhedrin in a certain respect because certain functions of Sanhedrin, again at the very least capital punishments, but probably beyond that, as the Rambam indicates at the beginning of Hilchos Ma'amrim, are limited to Sanhedrin being b'mekomo, and others not. L'mashal, the Sifrei on that pasuk in Dvarim Yud Zayin says Uvasa, right? Uvasa, the pasuk says l'makom ha'shevchar Hashem. So there, it sounds like the capacity of Sanhedrin to be the highest interpretive body is dependent on the makom. So the Sifrei darshins Uvasa l'rabos based in Shebiavne. So we have a drasha being marbe based in Shebiavne. So even though the psukim sound like only in Yerushalayim, but there's a drasha saying even Yavne. But the question that is, does that mean Yavne is identical? So we know it's certainly not fully identical. Well, with respect to what dinim are identical, is it identical? What dinim is it not? So,
is it considered to be a real drasha or a masmah?
No, it's a good question. I'm not even sure it matters because it's telling you the din, right? So who cares if it's an asmach or not? So I don't really know the answer. I saw some achronim discuss it, but it sounds like at least that's what Rambam is telling us, that with respect to certain dinim, the after the Sanhedrin left its makom in the mikdash, it wasn't. It lost its status, and that is associated with the riboy of machlokas. Now, I think maybe to better appreciate this, we have to think of about a couple of more things. The truth is, it's actually quite interesting because you could ask an even more basic question, and that is, why is it that the machlokos between Shammai and Hillel weren't resolved, right? There was a Sanhedrin b'makomo during that time, so why wasn't there a resolution there? Okay, it's true, it wasn't that many machlokos, like the Rambam says. Okay, three machlokos, so take a vote, right? That's what the Rambam says. That's what they did when there was a machlokos, right? Follow the majority. There had to be a majority. There are 71 members of the Sanhedrin, right? Or we could even ask earlier, you know, the first debate was about smicha, which took place during the period of the Zugos, right? Why wasn't that machlokas resolved about smicha and yantif? They certainly could have resolved it then. Why did they decide not to resolve it? The Zugos were the nasi and the avbeistin of the Sanhedrin. And they were the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people from the period of approximately 170 BCE all the way through the end of, the period of Hillel and Shammai, so let's say till around 30 into the Common Era, right? The first were Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. You could see this list in Pirkei Avos as well as in Chagiga. Then we have Yeshua ben Prachi and Itai Harbeli, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shattach, Shmai and Avtalion, and then Hillel and Shammai. So it would seem that the level of Jewish, of Torah scholarship at this period of time was poor. First of all, we have to keep in mind, overall in the population, we have to keep in mind that this period of time was a very difficult period of time. The earlier Zugos lived during the period of the very difficult conflicts between the Hashmonaim and the Hellenists. Later on, the later Zugos during the debates between the Prushim and the Tzedukim. There were in the earlier times, the Greek persecutions, and then the Hellenists, and later the Romans. There were many forces trying to fight Torah and its transmission and its study. It's interesting, actually, that some sources indicate that there was already a Bittul Sanhedrin well before the year we're talking about. We've been talking again, let's say, around the year 40. In the year 57 BCE, Gabinius, who was the Roman proconsul in Syria, the head of the country in many ways, divided Judea into five different provinces. And he did this, again, a number of sources. If you want to look at some sources that I read and got some of this information from, there's an excellent, older book, but an excellent book called Divrei Yimei Bayesheni, written by Rav Yekutiel Friedner. There's Yisod HaMishnah V'Arichasa, which is written by Rav Reuven Margolios. An earlier source, Rav Yitzchak Halevi, Isaac Halevi, Doros HaRishonim. There are a number of sources. There are more earlier, later sources that sort of talk about the history of this period. And the truth is, there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot of speculation, a lot we don't know. We have bits and pieces in Chazal, as we talked about in the previous semester, why perhaps it might be that we have so little clear-cut history. But anyway, he effectively ended the full authority of the Sanhedrin. Again, so here we're talking about 100 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even a little bit more. And he did this, the sources tell us, because of the advice of Antipater. Antipater was Herod's father. He was the founder of the Herodian dynasty, who was a very sly person, also not particularly fond of the Baalei HaMesorah. So he tried to, he basically tried to take away Sanhedrin's power and give it to the Kohen Gadol, who he had appointed, that was Hyrcanus II. And then, already then, there was a Bittul Sanhedrin. Some suggest, by the way, this might be what the Mishnah in Perek Tes of Sota is referring to. The Mishnah says over there that when the Sanhedrin was in the Spatel, there was no longer singing in the banquet halls. And which Bittul Sanhedrin was that? That might have been referring to this Bittul Sanhedrin, 100 years before the Chorban HaBayis. Even though subsequently the Sanhedrin did return, as we know, but it was tricky. And the Roman officials oftentimes interfered. They insisted on certain people being appointed to the Sanhedrin, perhaps who weren't ra'ui l'kach, just as we know that during this period of time, many of the Kohanim Gedolim were unfit to be Kohanim Gedolim. There may have been interference in the Sanhedrin as well. And that might explain why they didn't resolve all debates even earlier. Again, there was still much less debate then, but why they couldn't, let's say, during the period of Hillel and Shammai, why didn't they resolve all their debates? In the Sanhedrin, why don't they just take a vote? The state of Torah can sort of be seen when we study the story of Hillel. Hillel, the Gemara says, when he came up from Bavel, the Gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Amud Aleph, so Torah was restored to Klal Yisrael. It had been forgotten, and it was restored, just like in the times of Ezra, where Ezra came up from Bavel and restored Torah. Again, that doesn't mean there was no Torah, but clearly there was something missing. And Hillel restored Torah when he came back from Bavel. The Gemara, for example, talks about how Hillel became the Nasi. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says that it was once Erev Pesach Shechalilos B'Shabbos, and they didn't know whether or not the Karban Pesach could be brought. And Hillel basically resolved the question. He proved that Karban Pesach is Dolcha Shabbos. And it says at that point, the B'nai B'Seira, who were the leaders, who were the Nasi, well, who's the Nasi, I guess, abdicated in a great act of humility because they appreciated that Hillel was really much greater than them. And so they say, okay, you, Hillel, you should become the Nasi. And this is a great act of anava. It was this anava that really ensured the continuity of Torah in Klal Yisrael. And so Hillel becomes the Nasi. A little later, Shammai became the Avestin. And they debated. And so that was a partial restoration of Torah. But still things weren't perhaps ideal. And as we mentioned, when Hillel and Shammai die, so, you know, during Hillel and Shammai's time, it seems like there were two yeshivos. There was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. This proliferated after they died. Why, by the way, were there these two yeshivos? Why didn't like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai join? Make one great yeshiva. There are different theories. One was out of respect to Shammai, who had preceded Hillel, and he had already a yeshiva. Shammai was not just a great Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik, but someone who stood up for Torah in decades earlier when Herod, before he was king, was basically massacred a bunch of people, something he would do frequently much later. And he was brought before the Sanhedrin, and he came into the high court with his him in royal clothing and his guards in military with weapons, and he tried to intimidate the judges. This was during the times of Shmaya v'Avtalion, and they were getting pretty intimidated. And Shammai got up and he gave a whole speech that, you know, you can't do this. We never had anything like this, where somebody comes in dressed like a king, where somebody comes into the Sanhedrin with military people with him trying to intimidate. This can't be. Sanhedrin adjourned for the night before issuing their verdict, as always. Herod was advised to flee, which he did, so they never ended up issuing this verdict. But Shammai was one of the great manhigim of Klal Yisrael. So they didn't want to sort of swallow him up in Hillel's yeshiva. Another theory is they were afraid that making one unified yeshiva would cause the Romans to think that perhaps they were rebelling. And so there were these two yeshivos. And as we said, after the death of Hillel and Shammai, there was this riboy of machlokas. So what did they do then? How do you act? In other words, if there were all these unresolved machlokos, so how do you figure out practically what to do? So take a look at Erevin on Daf Vav on the Beis Zayin Od Aleph, source number 9. Vatanya liola malacha kebeis Hillel, varotza lasos kedivei Beis Shammai, osa kedivei Beis Hillel, osa. Mikulei Beis Shammai, mikulei Beis Hillel, rasha, mechumer Beis Shammai, mechumer Beis Hillel, alav hakas of Omer, haksil b'choshech holech, ela ike Beis Shammai kekulein ukechomrehen, ike Beis Hillel kekulein ukechomrehen. Aguv akasha, amr liola malach Beis Hillel, v'hadar amrit harotza lasos kedivei Beis Shammai, osa, lo kasha, kan kodem baskol, kan lachar baskol. So the Gemara's first answer here is basically that as long as there was no resolution, there was no decision that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, and here we should note it was attributed to the Bas Kol, we'll return to that question a little bit later, so then a person could decide. If you wanted to be among the Talmidei Beis Shammai, you could, but you had to be consistent. You had to follow them kekulehen ukechomrehen. And if you wanted to be from the Talmidei Beis Hillel, you could do that as well, as long as you followed them kekulehen ukechomrehen. And in a certain sense, as the Gemara actually notes later, much like is the case today, where a person is that's lo yilo ra, so he should choose a posek, a selach harav, and follow that posek kekulehen ukechomrehen. And that was okay. And a person at this point doesn't have to worry about doing the wrong thing, because they're following their Rebbe. La'achar Baskol, and we'll talk about when this Baskol took place a little later, but at a certain point in time, there was a resolution and a vote, a Baskol, both, that the halacha followed Beis Hillel. And at that point, one may not follow the view of Beis Shammai any longer, because at that point, there was a clear resolution. At that point, someone who followed Beis Shammai is a Shemute. And that's because once a resolution is reached, so then one must follow the resolution. There's no longer room for any debate. And those of you learning Daf Yomi have seen examples of this recently in terms of the inappropriateness of following Beis Shammai's view. So that's what happened for a certain period of time. And as I said, in other matters, it happened later. We should note, I guess, that even though there were these many unresolved debates, there was also friendship and harmony between the schools of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Klal Yisrael figured out a way to get along, even though there were these very many unresolved halachic debates. You could see this, for example, in source number 10, the Tosefta. It's a Tosefta Nivamos. Which one?
Four.
Okay, thank you. Tosefta Nivamos. Afal pisha nechleku Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Lo nimnu'u Beis Shammai lisa mi Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would marry each other. Velo Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai. El nagu ha'emes v'ashalom b'neim shenemar. Ha'emes v'ashalom ahavu. And the Gemara in Yevamos, source number 5, elaborates actually how exactly they did this in terms of marriage and the like. So Reb Shimon says, "Nimnu hein min avadai, v'lo nimnu min hasafek." Okay, ayin sham for a discussion. But the point was that we were a single nation. So on the one hand, it was like the Gemara we saw earlier, Nasa k'shtei toros, because there were so many disputes. But at the same time, there was also emes v'shalom avu. Emes, in the sense that each position did what they thought was right, and insisted on the truth. But shalom, in the sense that they continued to work together and get along and the like. So this persisted. This persisted for a while until. Basically, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, remember, the leader of the Jewish people was Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. As you know, there was tremendous sectarian strife at this time. This is certainly one of the factors, the Sinas Chinam, that led to the destruction of the Bayis, the debates between the Zealots and the Chachamim about how to deal with Rome, as described in the Gemara in Hanizakin. The Zealots trying to fight with the Romans, and even among the Zealots, there were two camps. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the leader of the Jewish people, realized that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed anyway, and it was time to prepare for the next step. So when he had an audience with the Caesar, the almost Caesar, he asks, "Tein li yav nevechacha meha," and even though Rabbi Akiva thought this was a mistake, as we discussed earlier in the year, he did it, and it was this doing, this appreciation that it was the time to move to Yavne and then reestablish the Sanhedrin in Yavne, that ensured the continuity of Torah and the continuity of Klal Yisrael. So with the destruction of the Bayis, so Torah continued, and the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, moved to Yavne. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stepped aside and allowed the continuation of the legacy of Hillel, who himself was from David, to be the Nasi. And so Rabban Gamliel Zaken became the Nasi. And Rabban Gamliel, this is several years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, realized that the time had come to bring a resolution of sorts to this debate. We couldn't have this go on forever as Nasa Torah Kishtei Toros. And take a look at the Gemara in Erevin, Yud Gimel, actually let's do the Tosefta in Edyos, Perek Aleph, which is source number 10. Chenichnesu Chachamim Lekerem B'Yavne. The Beis HaMikdash Yavne was called like a kerem, like a vineyard, because of the benches that were, I guess, like rows of a vineyard. Amru, Asida Sha'a Shiyehe Adam Mevakesh Davar Medivri Torah Venu Motzei Medivri Sofen Venu Motzei Shenamar Hinei Amim Baim Neum Hashem Yishotetu Levakesh Es Dvar Hashem Velo Yimtzau. Dvar Hashem Zu Nevuah, Dvar Hashem Zu Aketz, Dvar Hashem Shelo Yei Davar Medivri Torah Doma L'Chaveiro. Amru, Nascha V'Hilol V'Shamai. So we have to begin this process of clarification with the debates between Hillel and Shammai. And so how were the resolutions reached? So the Gemara, the Tosefta says, Olam halacha k'divrei Merubim. We follow the majority. Lo huzkeru divrei yachid ben Merubim. And it talks about over here a discussion and also the Mishnah Erevin in Agios, I mean to say, when we mention and why we mention the minority positions. The Gemara in Erevin in Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the next source, source 11, also addresses this question. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Olmim Halach Kamosenu, Halach Olmim Halach Kamosenu, Yatzu Baskol, V'Amar Eilu Beilu Devil, Chim Chaim Halach Beis Hillel. So it seems that this debate, for 3 years in Yavne, they tried to come to, figure out what to do. There was a debate. And finally, after 3 years, there's a baskol. The baskol said two things. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, but halacha k'beis Hillel. That obviously, intuitively, sounds like a contradiction. If they're both divrei Elokim Chaim, then why follow beis Hillel? I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, maybe next time we'll have a shiur on that topic, what exactly this means. How could they both be true? What does divrei Elokim Chaim mean? Is that to be understood literally? Literally, they were from Sinai. Or not. But one way or the other, the halacha follows Beis Hillel. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim exactly why or what the role of the baskol is. We'll see in just a couple minutes that the famous Gemara Bav Netziah by Tanur Shel Achnai, that we don't follow a baskol. Lo b'shamayim hi. In that story, even when the baskol paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So the baskol was ignored because we followed the majority view. Tosfos has two opinions in Erev and Daf Avam Beis. You have it over here. Whether or not we follow a baskol, the Rambam—that's the source number 12. The Rambam very definitively in source number 13. This is from his Hakdama to Mishnah, and also in. Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Perek Tes Halacha Dalid makes clear that we don't actually rely on a baskol to resolve halacha. What then was the purpose of the baskol? So one answer of Tosfos in the previous source was that of course we follow the baskol. Of course, we follow the Rov. The baskol was in support of the Rov, but not the true reason for the halacha. And this is a very big discussion. There's one of the Rishonim, Shelsa Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, who seem to arrive at halachic conclusions based off of dreams. Do we take them seriously or not? The Chidad, an interesting Chazar about this point. There's a lot of discussion. But the mainstream view, the view of the Rambam, I think, is that generally speaking, we don't. And the real reason why we follow Beis Hillel is because that was the majority opinion, as we saw in the Tosefta in Adios. So we follow Beis Hillel, as we said, from that point onwards. Anyone who follows Beis Shammai is acting inappropriately. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, as we said, at this point in time, sort of reestablishes in his Sanhedrin, in his high court, an attempt to bring uniformity of practice. And even if his court, being outside of Yerushalayim, as we said before, did not have the full-fledged status of the Beis Nagadol when it sits in Yerushalayim, but nevertheless was able to come to this resolution in terms of uniformity of practice. Now, we should note that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din, there were challenges. This was, in a certain sense, a bit of a break, right? Because as we've seen, for quite some time, there was a lack of uniformity. We'll briefly consider two, maybe three, challenges to this enterprise. The first, which you have in source number 14, is the story of Tanur Shel Achnai, a very famous story in which Rabbi Lazar debated the Chachamim about this question of Tumah Tahara. And the majority view ruled against Rabbi Eliezer, sort of Lazar ben Hyrcanus, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Interestingly enough, he also had a connection to Shammai. Even Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was a Talmud primarily of Hillel, but he had a connection to Shammai as well. For now, we won't get into that. And Rabbi Lazar didn't. He was sure he was right. He was confident he was right. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and so even though he was outvoted, he didn't want to just say, all right, I'm outvoted, because he knew he was right. So he brings various miracles to support his position. Halacha kamosi, hamayim yochicho, and the water switched directions. And they said, no, ein mevin rayim and amayim, meyamas amayim, and if I'm right, the buxer tree should move. And it did. Ein mevin rayis minacharav. And if I'm right, kosli beis hamedrash yochicho, and they leaned. They didn't entirely fall in covenant of Rabbi Yeshua, but they partially tilted. And finally, he says, Chazav yamarim halacha kamosi min hashamayim yochichu. Yatza baskel v'amra malachem etzel Rebbe Eliezer shalach kamos b'chol makom. The baskel said clearly, we always follow Rebbe Eliezer. Amar Rebbe Yeshua, Amar Rebbe Yeshua ragla v'amar lo b'shamayim hi. Mai lo b'shamayim hi. Amar Rebbe Yirmiya shekvar nitna Torah mehar Sinai. Ein anu mashkichem b'baskel shekvar kasavta v'har Sinai. So we follow the majority. In other words, you have to play by the rules. The rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up are you follow the majority. And since the majority of the Chachamim understood, to the best of their ability, that their position was correct and Lazar was wrong, even despite Rebbe Lazar's great mastery of Torah, and despite the miracles that supported his view, you simply can't accept that. Because the Torah is given to humans to interpret as they best can. The Gemara continues and says that Rabbi Nassan found Eliyahu, and he asks him, what's going on up there? And Eliyahu says that what was going on, Hashem was saying, was smiling and saying, Nitzchuni vanai, Nitzchuni vanai. My children have defeated me. But this was correct. Now they would say they were following the Torah. The Gemara continues that tragically, Rebbe Elazar didn't fully concede, and the Chachamim felt felt they had no choice but to excommunicate him. And the question was how to do it. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said he would do it, even though he was a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar. And he comes to him, Amar lo, Rabbi kemedume li shechaverim bedilim imcha. And then we have an incredible thing. Af hu kara begadav, v'chalatz min alav, v'nishmat v'yashav al gabi karka. Rabbi Elazar accepted that. Rabbi Elazar accepted that the authority of the Rabbim, of the Beis Din, to rule, and not only that, but even to excommunicate him. And so he honored that. He too took off his shoes and he sat on the floor like someone who is in nidui. Mara continues about the havoc that was happening in the world because of this. By the way, why wasn't Rav Gamliel here? So there's the Gemara says Rav Gamliel later on was on a boat on a certain mission. Anyhow, so here we have one challenge, this challenge. But ultimately, the challenge, notwithstanding, the authority of the Rabbim was upheld. And the Sanhedrin continued to practice following the majority rule. The next challenge in Yavne that we're going to see is from the Mishnah and Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is source number 15. And a similar story. The question here was about halacha relating to calendrical calculations. And that, of course, had a nafkamina in terms of when Yom Kippur would be. Rav Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din, and Shalach Rav Gamliel to Rabbi Yeshua, who disagreed with him, goes, Rani alecha shetovo etzli b'makelcha u'v'ma'usecha b'yom ha-kippurim shechalios b'cheshbonecha. So Rav Gamliel thought that it's absolutely essential that there be a single calendar, that all of Klal Yisrael observe Yom Kippur on the same day. Again, that there be uniformity. And so he tells Rabbi Yoshua, you have to show up on the day you think it's Yom Kippur with your wallet and walking stick. Now, significantly, he didn't tell him to break his fast, and perhaps it seems reasonable that Rabbi Yoshua might have fasted. But he told him, you have to show up in your weekday clothing on the day you think is Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yoshua didn't know what to do. He finds Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says the following. He says, you should follow, because the Pasuk says, Elam o'adei Hashem yikrai kodesh ha-shatikro sambe mo'adam, bein bizmanan, bein shalo bizmanan, ein li mo'ados ala elu. That it's the authority of the Nasi and the Sanhedrin to determine the calendar. And even if it's wrong, they are correct, and their authority must be observed. And he sees Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, same type of thing. And eventually the Gemara concludes where it's bolded, Natal Maklo Ma'osa Biyado V'halach Liavne Eitzel Rami Gamliel B'yom Shechal Yom HaKippur Lios B'cheshbono. So he concedes. He shows up on that day, the day he thought was Yom Kippur, wearing his weekday clothing. Amad Rami Gamliel V'nashko Al Rosh. Gamliel gets up and gives him a kiss. Amar Lo Bo B'shalom Rabbi V'talmidai Rabbi B'chachma. Gamliel acknowledges that Rabbi Yeshua may have been greater than him in wisdom, but v'talmidai shekibalti devarai. The Gemara in Bechoros, the next source, talks about another confrontation between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara in Brachos, the next source, Chav Zayin, talks about another confrontation. And after these confrontations, the Chaverim came to an appreciation that really Rabbi Gamliel was, as great as he was, overstepping his bounds, and that he had to be removed from his position as Nasi. And they did this. There was a question who could be possibly replaced Rav Gamliel. It couldn't be Rabbi Yeshua. That would be the obvious choice. That would be too offensive to Rav Gamliel. And eventually it was chosen Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's why, as we say in the Seder, the miracle in which his white hairs, his brown hairs. He was a young man, turned white very quickly. It maybe wasn't such a miracle. That's what happens when you're in a position of authority. But anyway, what's very important here is Rav Gamliel accepts this. The next day, you know, Rav Gamliel doesn't walk away. He doesn't start a schism. He doesn't have an alternative movement. If you look at the Gemara over there in bold, V'af Rav Gamliel lo mana atzma mi'beis ha-medrash afilu shah achas. The next day, Rav Gamliel sat down in the benches of Yavne, and even though they were sort of undermining many of his policies, he sat down, you know, he moved from the Mizrach to the regular benches, and he joined the conversation, and he said his opinion just like everybody else, and there was a Masa Umatan. He fully accepted this. The Gemara does say eventually he was mostly restored, and there was a partnership of sorts between Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, but I guess we're out of time, and the rest is history. But I'll point out something which I think is very, very important to note here, which is that despite these challenges, and as we see there were challenges, and these were serious challenges, the Mesorah continued. And the reason, one reason that we see in all these stories is because even though there were great people with strong opinions, they were eventually mevatel themselves. They were mevatel themselves. Rav Elazar accepted the cherem. Rav Gamliel accepted he was being deposed. Reb Yoshua accepted the authority of Rav Gamliel and showed up with his walking stick. Earlier, we mentioned the Bnei Bisera, who recognized the greatness of Hillel and stepped down to give him that place. We refer to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, allowing Rabbi Gamliel to become the Nasi. Again and again, the Mesorah was able to continue and was able to flourish because though there was great machlokas, like the Mishnah says about the machlokas between Beis Shil and Beis Shammai, it was a machlokas, it was L'Shem Shamayim, and a machlokas, it's L'Shem Shamayim, is Sofa L'Skayim. And it was through these machlokos, but then these resolutions, that the Torah that we have and the Torah that we study every day comes down to us. Like the Rambam says, there was lots of innovation, but ultimately the Mesorah is perfect and there was no break since Sinai, since Tarmi Sinai, no break in any of the links in that chain. So while there were challenges, while there was persecution, while there were periods of time when Torah was stronger and periods of time when Torah was weaker, while there were times when there was debate that went unresolved and there were times where the debates were resolved, the Torah continued. And the Chachmei HaMesorah from each and every generation continued to pass on that Mesorah to us today, where again, we have that same thing. We don't have a Sanhedrin to resolve these questions. We have our Chachmei HaMesorah that continue. We have methods of figuring out what to do. And we have methods, there are times that consensus is reached and must be observed. Certain questions of halacha that have, without a doubt, been accepted by Klal Yisrael. And there are questions that continue to be debated. But the Mesorah continues in each and every generation. And it happens because of the Amelos in Torah, the Manhikim, because of their Mesirus HaNefesh for Torah, and also because, as we've just seen, their tremendous Anava. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Scintillating lecture, as always.
Do you want to take your thing? Your phone? I don't know how to. I don't know how to turn this off.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.